Oh Lord, as we gather this morning to hear your word, to study your word, we ask that you would be present with us and that my words would be pleasing to your ears and that we would all meditate on what you have for us to learn today. Amen. Sheila is such a good... I left him on that. Yeah. I see in the bulletin it said, living life, colon, and nothing. Living life as disciples. What is in a name? Yesterday, we went to our grandson's graduation party. Last week was his graduation, and I know some people are at graduation ceremonies today and have other graduations coming up. Last week, our middle grandson became a high school graduate. Before that, he was a high school student. No longer is he known as a high school senior, he's known as a graduate. And this fall, he will be known as a Bronco as he's going to Western Michigan University. He's also known as a son, grandson, brother, nephew, cousin, friend. And he has a job at McDonald's right now. So I'm tempted to call him McWilliam, but I don't think he'd appreciate that. I read once of a guy named Johnny Lecter, who was a college student, and just a short time before he was due to graduate, a friend convinced him that he should stay for another year. So he decided to take some more classes and stay for another year. Well, then the next year, he decided, well, I've never studied abroad. I better stay for another year. And then the next year, he thought, well, I never took that class. I really should stay for another year. This went on for 15 years. He was a student, but he didn't want to be out and use that knowledge that he had learned. He had multiple degrees. He had majors from half a dozen majors. The university got so tired of having him as a student that they instituted a slacker tax, that anybody who took too long to graduate must pay double tuition. Well, that didn't faze him a bit because he was making money in lecturing appearances and acting jobs related to his unique life path. So he just kept on keeping on. Well, today we're going to talk about the difference between two titles that followers of Jesus carry: disciple and apostle. And we're going to celebrate Ascension Sunday, a weird sort of in-between day that isn't exactly one of our highest holy days. But I've got to ask you, did anybody bring me an Ascension Day present today? Oh, well. There aren't any well-known Ascension Day hymns, and we don't have special Ascension Day decorations. But it's an important part of our liturgical season. Here, if I put this on here, will that be better? Okay, hopefully we don't hear all that static. we're still in the great 50 days of Easter. And though a lot of us could talk about the last days of Jesus' life, his entry into Bethlehem on Palm Sunday, the Last Supper, the crucifixion, and Easter Sunday when he arose from the dead. And then he was with his disciples for 40 days, walking with them, continuing to teach them. And then, after he left, we know the day that we're going to celebrate next week, which is Pentecost, when this Holy Spirit descended upon the disciples. But today, we're focused on his ascension. The ascension is the celebration of the day when Jesus leaves the earth after the resurrection, returning to God's realm, leaving the disciples to wait for the coming of the Holy Spirit. Ascension Sunday happens 40 days after the resurrection, and we celebrated the closest Sunday to that date. We find the story of Jesus' ascension both at the end of the Gospel of Luke and at the beginning of the Gospel, or the book of Acts. Luke is the author of both of these books, and Acts is kind of a sequel of sorts to the book of Luke. The story of what happens to the disciples after Jesus is no longer physically with them. In our text from Luke, Jesus reminds the disciples that his time with them has been a fulfilling of the law and the prophets and the Psalms. Jesus brings into fullness all the promises laid out by God in God's story with the people. And then we read that Jesus opens their minds to understand the scriptures, a conversation we'd all surely like to have overheard. Then he tells his disciples the task to proclaim repentance and forgiveness to all nations, beginning in Jerusalem in Christ's name, while they wait to be clothed with power on high. But then they will be ready to begin their work. Please turn to Luke 24, verses 50 and 53 through 53 in your pew Bible, which, and it can be found on page 858. When he had led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. They worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and they stayed continually at the temple, praising God. Our scene from Acts overlaps somewhat our passage from Luke, and the focus is the same. Our passage from Acts can be found on page 882 in your hymnal. Acts 1, verses 1 through 11. In my former book, Theopolis, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven. After giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen, after his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father has promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Then they gathered around him and asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It's not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." After this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking up intently into the sky where he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand there looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come again in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." Now, you may have noticed that Acts begins addressing someone named Theophilus. We don't know anything about him. The name literally means lover of God. And so Theophilus might be a person who was interested in becoming a follower of Christ, or just a broad name addressing all who claim to love God. The author recounts that 40 days have passed after the resurrection, during which time Jesus continued to appear to his disciples, teaching about the kingdom of God, directing them to stay in Jerusalem until they received the Holy Spirit. And on the 40th day, they gathered with Jesus. And they ask him in essence, "Hey, Jesus, are you finally going to rid Israel of Roman occupation, return it to its glory, and rule over it as king?" They still didn't get it. They've been asking him this throughout his entire ministry. And then throughout his entire ministry, Jesus has been teaching them that that is exactly the kind of ruler that he is not. The kingdom of God is not the rule of power and might that will come in and conquer the occupying Romans by violent means. And further, Jesus certainly isn't interested in talking about dates and times that things will happen. And so I can only imagine here, even after the resurrection, even after 40 days of teaching about the kingdom, Jesus must have been a little exasperated that they still didn't get it. But still, Jesus moves on quickly and reminds them that one last time that the power that they will be getting is the power of the Holy Spirit. "What the disciples will be," Jesus said, "are his witnesses to the ends of the earth." While Jesus is saying this, we read that he's being lifted up into the sky and taken out of the disciples' sight. And they stand a bit frozen, staring up into the sky, gazing toward heaven. But while they're looking up, two men in white robes suddenly appear saying, "Men of Galilee, why are you looking toward heaven? This Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven will come again the same way you saw him go." And this is where the scene in our text for the day conclude. The disciples are gazing up into heaven because the only thing that they can focus on is that Jesus has left them. Yes, he's resurrected. Yes, he's conquered death. But at that moment, when he's leaving earth, not going to be with them physically any longer, I can only imagine that that they were overwhelmed with anxiety and fear and loneliness. And so they gaze up at the sky, hoping perhaps to catch just one last glimpse. Have you ever been in that situation where someone is driving away, or you're driving away, and you turn and you just want one last glimpse? The messengers of God appear to pull their gazes back from where they're stuck on the sky and pull them back into present reality. Why are you gazing at the heavens? Jesus' work is on the earth, at least in that way. Jesus' work on the earth in that way is done. Now the work of the disciples is about to begin, and it's time for them to get moving, to get with it. Earlier, I talked about this perpetual student, Johnny. He liked being a student. For him, learning was everything, but he wasn't too interested in applying that knowledge. All through the time Jesus ministered and taught on earth, his followers were his students, his disciples. Now it was time for them to change their focus, to graduate, so to speak, to become apostles, the called out ones, to stop learning and start applying what they had been taught. This is the truly amazing message of the ascension. Even with the disciples asking, let's face it, redundant, last-minute, stupid questions, Jesus entrusted into their very imperfect hands his whole work, his whole life, the purpose for which he came to earth. Everything that he hopes and dreams for us to be. His whole vision for the realization of God's reign on earth. Jesus has handed over and left it completely in the hands of his disciples. I heard of a story about when Jesus got to heaven and an angel greeted him after his ascension and said, "You're leaving everything to them?" And he said, "Yep, that's my plan." And the angel said, "Well, what's your plan B?" And Jesus said, "There is no plan B." The same is true for us. Often we do a good job of being disciples, of studying and caring for those within the church and welcoming visitors and doing the tasks of being a church. But are we good at being apostles? We are the ones who are here, who are left to carry out the work of Jesus. He made us his body, his hands, and his feet in the world. To us, to you and me, Jesus has entrusted the carrying out of all his hopes for the world. Do you get the weight of the significance of that? How much faith Jesus puts in us to believe that we can carry out the work of God in the world? Are we doing it? Are we embodying the good news of God's love and grace in the world? Are we his hands and feet, the body of Christ in the world? Yes, we're disciples, his students always. But sometimes the lesson we need to learn is that we can't keep waiting until we know everything before we're willing to go where God wants to send us. If we waited until we felt ready, we'd still be standing with the disciples, gazing up at the clouds, waiting for more pages to turn. waiting for more information. We're called to be apostles too, sent out, witnesses of the work of Jesus to the ends of the earth. We can't sit or stand looking up into heaven. After all, the body of Christ is right here, in this very room, in fact, ready to be sent out. The message must be delivered. The good news aches to be preached. We are the witnesses. We are the ones sent. We are the apostles. Let's go. And as the Lord of the Dance, the chorus of the Lord of the Dance, which I should have right with me, what did it say? I am the Lord of the Dance, said he. Anyway, that he will go with us, empowering us, leading us. We just need to be willing spirits, willing hearts. Let's put faith to our faith. Amen.